Guardate in domino semper. Rejoice in the Lord always. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. It's also known as Guardate Sunday from the traditional intuit of today's service. For in the days when Advent was more of a mirror to the season of Lent, Guardate Sunday was one of rejoicing and included the relaxing of penitential observances such as those around fasting. Keeping this in mind, it is quite appropriate that we hear this morning from the prophet Zephaniah his instructions to sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. Or from the Apostle Paul, that we are, as the church of Philippi was encouraged to, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. These scriptures of hope and joy in the Lord are then paired with the words of the voice in the wilderness, one who cries out a slogan we don't usually find plastered all over Christmas cards and party invitations during this festive season. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? An odd juxtaposition of proclamation when held up against the words of Zephaniah and St. Paul. But in their own way, they too bear the mantle of good news. This certainly doesn't appear to be the case right off the bat. For the Baptist addresses the crowds who have come out to be baptized in a manner that appears to be both condescending and incredulous. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Is John being facetious here? Or is his question a genuine one? Is he chastising them for seeking him out in the wilderness? Or is he truly asking them how they were warned of their pending doom and have come to seek salvation? Or is it possible that John is simply channeling his inner Jonah? For in Jonah-esque fashion, John seems pretty perturbed by those who assembled before him, that he is somewhat indignant of the fact that this crowd included tax collectors and soldiers, just as Jonah was displeased by God's mercy toward Nineveh. It appears that John might be a bit offset by God's mercy towards those who stand before him. Perhaps even the Baptist is surprised by the expansiveness of God's grace. Whether the crowds came out because they were drawn there by a divine calling, or if they had heard rumors of a wild man out in the Jordan, here they were, at the mercy of the man in the camel's hair, beckoning Israel to come and be washed. Now it can be assumed that the Baptist knows in his heart his words are hard words. He must have known that the people's hearts would be hesitant to embrace the reality of their brokenness. So before they can cling to self-justification, such as claiming Abraham as their ancestor, John immediately strips them of any recourse by proclaiming that God could raise up from the stones around them the children of Abraham. Even the stones, these dumb, inanimate rocks, could bear good fruit. The unspoken question before the crowds is, will they? They have come out to the desert, seemingly clinging to one identity. While on the other hand, John wants to point them towards another, a new identity, an identity that will produce good fruit. The crowd asks the Baptist, what then should we do? The word do in Greek is the same as the one used by the Baptist as bear, as in, what then do you will us to bear? The Baptist's reply, good fruit. He then proceeds to describe for each of them what that looks like. And for John, it is the economy of the kingdom. For in the economy of the kingdom, all have what they need, and one doesn't take more than they require. Those in positions of power do not lord it over another. Those who have been granted authority do not abuse their position for personal gain. It is this economic emphasis that the Baptist describes as good fruit. This is what you are to bear. This is what you are willed to do. These will be the markers of repentance. For true repentance, in John's eyes, produce the proper good fruit. Later in Luke's gospel, Jesus will introduce this theme of good fruit once again, as he declares, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are gathered not from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush." Now, depending on your view of humanity, your perspective on what kind of trees we may be will certainly differ. But since, in the end, our perspective doesn't really matter when it comes to the will and judgment of God, whether you see yourselves as a good tree or a bad tree, the question remains the same. What then should we do? It is this question that holds the key to John's proclamation as good news. The words of the crowds are not, "What should we do so that we might repent?" But the spirit of the question is more so, now that we have repented, now that we have turned our hearts or had them turned for us, what should we do? Is this new identity that John wills for them? It is the identity. The identity we find in Christ Jesus, in whom we have our very being, that transforms us from whatever tree we view ourselves to be into the tree that God knows us to be. The root of Jesse, the stem of the rose that is Mary, the branches of the vine, the very living body of Christ. This identity we are given in baptism, a baptism of the Holy Spirit and refiner's fire, reshapes the reply of the crowds to the question, now that we are saved, now that we are forgiven, now that we are adopted by God, what are we to do? We desire to do what God wills us to do. As a recently retired Lutheran clergy reminded me the other day, that in the clear pieces of Scripture, as compared to the confusing parts, it is apparent that God wants us to care and to provide for each other. It is most evident in the Baptist cry that in our identity as the redeemed, in our identity as children of the Most High, in our identity of the one who has come, is coming, and will certainly come again, that we are to participate in the economy of the kingdom. Our lived response to grace, the life of repentance and forgiveness, is one that is to produce good fruit. So may we rejoice this day, that because of what Christ has done for us as the babe of Bethlehem and the king of the cross, that we live not in fear of the axe, but in anticipation of the harvest, bearing the fruit of the Spirit to be fruitful in service to our neighbor and to those in need, all for the glory of God. Gaudete, rejoice. Amen.